Drive Time 91.3. Always on the cutting edge.
Voice of the Cape Drive Time. It is 91.3. As the man said, you can get us WhatsApp, SMS, Twitter, Facebook, and of course the Android app on the dark side of the moon. It's a free book Friday part of the show, and in my hand is a book entitled Bending the Rules, From de Klerk to Mandela, Stories of a Pioneering Diplomat. The author is Rafik Gangat, who certainly has had a very interesting career, having seen the world of diplomacy, in a sense, from both sides of the fence. But online to tell us about his life and times as a diplomat, and of course his very interesting book, Rafik Gangat. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
Now, your book, Bending the Rules, it's been published by Quella Books, and it is available at a bookshop in South Africa at Exclusives. It's there for the taking. You certainly have had a very interesting life. Coming from a country town, you could play cricket, and you were catapulted, as it were, into apartheid South Africa.
Yeah, it was interesting. I mean, looking back, you know, I mean, we all, in hindsight, we become geniuses. You know, looking back, it was an interesting time. You know, I mean, basically, I think it was just, you know, one thing led to another, and I just got catapulted, as you say, into the diplomatic stream, and then life just went on a roller coaster ride from that point onwards, and I'm thankful.
I mean, but you had a very interesting career path, though, because on your way, you ended up in radio. In fact, Radio Lotus was your tenure for a while. You had some interesting times there. You banged your head against authority a couple of times, and you sacrificed your cricket career as well. Just tell us more about those aspects.
Okay, let me get some context. Now, I come from, as you so rightly said, I come from a small town, Weenen, in KwaZulu-Natal. We didn't have a high school, so I went to high school in Escort and then continued in Pietermaritzburg. And then I had to go to university, and then it was the case of, in apartheid South Africa, you had to attend the university of your race, which meant the University of Durban-Westville for Indians in Durban. I attended the university, I dropped out, it's a story in the book. And then I went back home, I got involved in the family business. And from there, I mean, I got involved in cricket. And that was an interesting, I wanted to become a professional cricketer. And I played professional cricket for Natal. And what happened, I mean, yes, there was this big change in South Africa going back in apartheid South Africa. I mean, at that time it was considered very big, where we could now play multinational cricket, where race could play against race. And I was the first person of color, first Indian to bowl to a white man in Durban. And that's one of the stories I bowled to Dick Smith, who went on to play for Natal and South Africa. And then we could sit in stadiums wherever we wanted to sit, and I sat in the stadium in the Wanderers in Johannesburg, and that led to an incident, which is also part of the book, which my life then went into a totally different tangent, let's put it that way. And then I landed up at the Leadership Institute of South Africa. That's where the whole diplomacy thing comes about. I meet this American professor, and that's why I say it's destiny playing a hand. I met this American professor from Los Angeles, and the one night we spent a night together, and I take him around Pretoria, and at the end of the evening he tells me, you know, you'd make an amazing diplomat. You know, you cross so many different cultures, colors, all in one night. You'd be amazing on the international stage. And I said, no, I don't want to join them, and they don't want me. Anyway, to cut a long story short, he wrote me my CV. I sent it to Foreign Affairs. The Afrikaners called me. They were looking for an Uncle Tom. And, you know, I didn't fit in what they wanted. And then I got married, and I landed up on Radio Lotus in Durban, where we started this Indian radio station, and I was part of this pioneering team. It was a fun time, interesting time, but very difficult because there were a lot of restrictions, and, you know, you couldn't say this, and you couldn't say that, and you couldn't do a whole lot of things. It was controlled by the apartheid government. And then there was a career beckoning in television, but Foreign Affairs came back to me, and then I joined the Department of Foreign Affairs. And I spent some time in Pretoria, which is a difficult time. And then off I went on my first diplomatic posting to Beverly Hills. And I called the professor who told me I should be a diplomat, and I said, I'm in your town. You know, so, I mean, that's right. A coincidence. And from there, I come back home. I happen to be at the right time, at the right place. The first Gulf War breaks out. And I was the only Muslim diplomat in the Department of Foreign Affairs. And I was tasked to do this evacuation from Saudi Arabia at a time when South Africa had no diplomatic relations with Saudi Arabia, in the middle of a war. The airport in Jeddah was closed. There were 300 and some South Africans stuck in Saudi Arabia. And off I had to perform Mission Impossible, which senior diplomats laughed and they said, you know, this kid wants to do this. But with the help of God, you know, I pulled it off. You know, single-handedly, I came back. And the next thing, I got catapulted. I landed up in Cape Town, spokesperson for the Ministry of Foreign Affairs. And it was an interesting time. It was a time when fundamental change was taking place. Mandela was out of prison. The Cordesa talks were taking place. The world was opening up to South Africa. And from there, I get catapulted. I go off to Pakistan. I was the first diplomat in Karachi, Pakistan. I voted from the land of my ancestors, you know, where I really, I'm supposed to come from. And from Pakistan, I landed up in Saudi Arabia. I opened the missions in Jeddah and Riyadh. And from there, bang, I was in Abu Dhabi. And in Abu Dhabi is an interesting time. It was where I sat back and I watched the new South Africa coming to Dubai. And that's a whole story in the book as well. And then I came back home, and the rest then is history from there.
No, absolutely. And it must have been interesting being in your boots. You join the diplomatic corps at a time when you walk down the corridor, people must certainly have said, what on earth is this guy doing here? From being looked like that to actually ending up being an ambassador. What is it actually like being an ambassador? I mean, all that I've seen of ambassadors is when I go to a country, then there's an official reception. But it must be a lot of work behind the scenes.
Yeah, it's a lot of work. I mean, my first one was in Abu Dhabi, where I started off in a hotel room. And within the first week, Nelson Mandela came to Abu Dhabi on an official trip. So working from a hotel room, we didn't have an embassy, we didn't have a residence. And it was an interesting time. And, you know, it was a one-man show. And what's really interesting was the night before, I didn't sleep the whole night. I was sitting in the military barracks working with the military band to explain to them that they have to play half of the stem and half of Nkosi Sikelele. Right, and that's not really an ambassador job, but I had to do that. And they couldn't understand, why do we have to play half and half? And that's what Nelson Mandela wanted at that stage, you know, the whole reconciliation thing. And finally, I impressed upon them, they got it right. And the next day, he arrives at the airport, and they played the half and half. And he was very impressed, you know, and he told me, you know, he'd just come back from Bahrain, where they played just the old one. And he was very upset about that. So yes, it was a lot of hard work. It was hands-on kind of work. Unlike ambassadors who go to a fully fledged embassy where everything is set up and, you know, you just go for the ceremony. In my case, I was ambassador, but I was doing the political work. I was issuing visas. I was doing the whole toots myself, right? And it was challenging, fun, but it was an exciting time. I was motivated by the fact that all that we fought for, all that we struggled for, we got it now. And now it's time to build this country of ours. But then it was very disappointing when I started seeing, and I have a whole chapter, the new South African ministers, you know, the rot that we have right now started a long time ago. And they were coming through to Dubai, and what I experienced, and it was not very nice.
In fact, you talk about certain government officials using Dubai as a shopping stop. That's it. Fiddling the books back home so they could come and shop for a weekend and use an ambassador to come to meet them. And they're actually almost annoyed that you are following protocol.
Exactly. I mean, a perfect example we had, I mean, she's now late, you know, and I write about this. Stella Segal was the Minister of Public Enterprises. Mm-hmm. And I was instructed that the Minister of Public Enterprises is coming through. She's stopping over, and she's on her way to Iran. And all I had to do, I was instructed that I must buy an abaya and a head covering because that's how she had to fly into Iran. And that's what I did. And she lands up, and she wants me to take her around because she needs to buy a certain top that some black lady or African lady was buying from Dubai and selling outside of Parliament. So she wanted to start this business of selling these tops outside of Parliament. And I spent the whole night looking for these tops for her, and I couldn't find them. And she was very disappointed that the South African ambassador could not find the tops for her. You know, that's how bad it was. It's funny, but it's sad.
Absolutely. And of course, what you also observe in that particular chapter is that cater deployment wasn't working. I mean, yes, you know, you were given these appointments, but you did the school. In other words, you went through the processes and you understood how the system worked, but you were dealing with people who hadn't gone through this process. They were cadres, they'd been given positions, and let's be blunt, were pretty clueless what they were doing in their posts.
Exactly, and that's the price we're paying today. All this catered, I mean, deployment, I saw it in foreign affairs, and, you know, that's why I'm no longer in foreign affairs. You know, I landed up in Palestine, where I was South Africa's ambassador to Palestine, and I came here and I served here, and I worked my heart out. But the problem was the principals that I was reporting to back home were catered deployments who had absolutely no idea what was happening here. And my sin was I fell in love with a Palestinian. And I got recalled from that, recalled home, and that's one of the stories. And I left.
Yes, and in fact, you were dismissed on a technicality, weren't you?
Yes. You know, we've taken that to court, and, you know, it's been a long process. But the point is, you know, it's very disappointing, and now I'm here, and I now live here, and I'm now writing a sequel to the first book, which is about my life in this part of the world and how I've taken the South African experience and brought it to this conflict zone and how we've tried to. And one of the stories, I mean, which just started off in the first book, which will continue in the second book, is we started a radio station here with a studio in Ramallah and a studio in Jerusalem to bring the two sides together, to use radio as a medium to bring about not really peace, but at least communication between the two sides. And we built a radio station and tried to build bridges at a time when Israel was building a wall between the two sides. And that's the major story in my second book. And from that, I mean, we got closed down. And then I've helped my wife, you know, I'm still involved in radio in a certain way. You know, maybe diplomacy and, you know, communication and radio all, you know, sort of work together. My wife has now opened the first and only women radio station in the entire Arab world, and I help out there as well today.
No, that certainly is very interesting indeed. And of course, do you think that as a South African, we bring a lot to the party in understanding the nature of conflict, that just being South African does give us a little bit of empathy, I suppose, and it's easier for us to understand the dynamics?
Exactly. I mean, we have, you know, we've come through this pain and struggle of apartheid, and we achieved something. I mean, okay, not what we have today, you know, it's a different story. But, you know, I was at CODESA, and the big achievement at CODESA was this constitution. We addressed two fundamental things. We addressed white fears and black aspirations with the constitution. For me, the constitution is the be-all that we achieved in the end. The problem we have in South Africa today, you know, I look back from where I'm sitting, is that the ANC gave itself, right from the beginning, this divine right, the sole and legitimate representative of the people. It's almost like a divine rule. And that's the problem, and that's the price we're paying today. You know, we need this thriving democracy, we need opposition, we need vigorous debate. Yes, we have the building blocks, but we have to sort a lot of things out. But yes, going back to your earlier question, we bring a lot to the party in any conflict zone. I have brought, and other South Africans have brought a lot to here. In the end, like, what we can say is that we got all the players to sit around a table and sort the problem out, which we did at CODESA. And that's the advice we bring to this part of the world as well. In the end, you know, let's stop the fighting, let's sit down and let's talk around the table, and we'll find one another. And that's what needs to be done in every conflict anywhere in the world.
No, absolutely. And to get back to your book, you know, you've crammed quite a lot in the pages, and it's very readable. There's some very funny parts in it as well. And you've been totally honest about yourself, haven't you? I mean, you've exposed yourself, warts and all.
Exactly. You know, let me tell you a bit about the book. You know, the book is about challenging the system. It's about finding common ground. It's about making a difference and sometimes even paying a price for doing so. It's in the end, it's a story of my life. And the book is unique, as you've mentioned. It's crammed. It's a memoir told in short, engaging stories. It is honest, critical, humorous, not bitter in the least. And it covers the period that I lived in South Africa, my travels across the United States, Asia, Middle East, before, during apartheid. And in the end, the book illustrates a very important point, that the grass of freedom has been soiled by the weeds of corruption, and the issue of color and race continues to bedevil us.
And those are certainly profound statements. We've been talking to Rafiq Gangat, Bending the Rules from de Klerk to Mandela, Stories of a Pioneering Diplomat. Rafiq is now resident in, I believe you're staying in Ramallah in Palestine.
No, in Jerusalem.
In Jerusalem. And, of course, you're married to a Palestinian woman who significantly has just started the first woman radio station in the Arab world. And that certainly is exciting stuff. Rafiq, what we normally do to our guests at this time of the show, because one free copy of a book is going to be given away, and we ask our authors just to ask a pretty easy question, and the first person who sends the correct answer on a WhatsApp line will be able to read Bending the Rules.
Great.
What question have you got for our listeners? An easy one that they can answer.
What question do I have for the listeners? You know, now you put me in a spot. I'll leave that to you. The author has to phrase the question.
It doesn't matter. In fact, if you feel comfortable, the interview, I will phrase the question, and somebody will get a free copy of Bending the Rules. From de Klerk to Mandela, Stories of a Pioneering Diplomat, Rafiq Gangat, published by Kwela Books. And Rafiq, of course, I think we all look forward to your second book as well.
Thank you. I mean, I'm busy with it right now, and you'll be the first to know.
Thanks a lot. Everything of the best, and may Bending the Rules fly off the shelves.
Thank you so much.